What have you for me today, Lord? What have you for me today? It's here at your feet I want to be. What have you for me today?
You're listening to The Sons Are Free. The topic today is to tithe or not to tithe, the search for truth. Part 1. The ministers of the old-timey Presbyterian church I grew up in never preached about tithing that I recall. Rather, stewardship, as it was called then, was a brief appeal before taking up the collection. It was around my fourth grade year when I asked Mom to let me stay for the entire adult service rather than send me off to children's church after the welcome and announcements. There I remember the minister, wearing a black robe and colorful Advent stole, walking from the pulpit to the altar, where he motioned for the ushers to come forward, saying, "It's time to bring God our tithes and offerings." "What does God want with tithes?" I asked myself. No doubt a factor in my confusion was the beach vacation my family just returned from, where we dug our daily limit of razor clams at low tide. I couldn't tell you how long it was before I figured out the minister was saying tithes, not tides. The first time I heard someone preach about the tithe was in 1979. Oddly enough, it wasn't in church that I heard it preached. Just 23 at the time, I was working the graveyard shift in support of a computer operation, where the lone terminal operator listened to cassette tapes of Word of Faith preachers such as R.W. Schambach, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Joyce Meyer, Paul Crouch, and others. Dignified and intellectual Presbyterian that I was, I'd never heard that kind of preaching before, the shouting and haughty dramatics. I was sickened by it at first, but because their message was delivered with such fervor and seeming unanimity together with citations of Scripture, I came to accept it as truth, along with the heapin' helpin' of guilt and condemnation, because I didn't tithe. In fact, I couldn't tithe because mine was a single-income family, living paycheck to paycheck. With little money to give, I instead devoted my musical gift to the Lord and gave free concerts, donating the love offerings to the food bank or returned them to the host church for the poor in the congregation. I gave away my albums and often played guitar in the church praise band. But still, the feelings of guilt and condemnation vexed me because I was robbing God. Fast forward 30 years from the day I first heard the word tithes, my wife and I relocated to the rural Midwest for a season of growth. There we met the Spitfire Trio, whom I introduced in the episode In Memory of Betsy. One Sunday afternoon, after returning from church, the phone rang, and one of the Spitfire Trio told me about the preacher whose congregation quietly snuck out of church during the prayer following a long sermon on tithing. He said, "Amen," looked up and cried out, "Half my church is gone." Oh, how I laughed, saying they must have fled the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What the Lord said took me completely by surprise. They fled from error and guilt-based giving. "What?" I cried. I'd heard more sermons on the tithe than any other topic except our need of Jesus for salvation. After I picked up my jaw from the floor, the Lord prompted me to study tithing and giving. Throughout this Bible study, I prayed for His guidance and in the end reached the inescapable conclusion that the tithe is to the church today what the issue of circumcision was to the church in Paul's time. The verse most often cited in support of the tithe is from the Old Testament, found in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10.
Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you?
In tithes and offerings.
You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me.
Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house.
Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty,
and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Many preachers shorten Malachi 3, 8 through 10 to simply,
bring the whole tithe into the storehouse,
with the inference that their church is the storehouse. As a basis for the Lord's teaching, He had me concentrate on the passage, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. From there, He asked me three questions. What is the tithe? It's 10% of the increase established in Leviticus 27, 30 through 33, as an offering holy to the Lord. The Scripture clearly identifies the tithe as grain and fruit, herd and flock. The tithe is food. What was the tithe for? God established the tithe to feed the Levite priests and their families who worked in the temple day and night. Without it, the Levites would have needed to raise their own food, thereby taking them away from ministering to God. Hence the reference in Malachi 3:10, that there may be food in my house. Nehemiah 13, verses 10 through 13, records a time when the Levite priests were not receiving the tithe, wherein they abandoned their temple responsibilities to work the farms to feed their families. Thus, the reference to robbing God in Malachi 3:8 is in fact robbing God of ministry by failing to take care of God's priests through the tithe of food items. What is the storehouse? 2 Chronicles 31 teaches that the storehouse is specially prepared rooms in the temple in Jerusalem. At a time when there was so much grain from the tithe, it was heaped up in the streets. King Hezekiah gave orders to prepare storerooms in the temple. Having established the original purpose of the tithe, the Lord asked me several more questions. What happened to the temple and storehouse? It was destroyed in 70 AD and has not been rebuilt. Why? The old covenant system of animal sacrifice to atone for sin has been replaced by the new covenant in Christ's blood. Where is the temple now? 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 says we are now the temple of God. No longer does God abide in man-made temples, but in the hearts of His children through the Holy Spirit. What happened to the Levite priests? The Levite priesthood was rendered obsolete when the old covenant system was superseded by the covenant of Christ's blood and worship that is now in spirit and in truth. Who is the priesthood now? 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, and Revelation 1, 6 says those who have received Jesus are the new priesthood. And that, dear friends, brings us to the million-dollar question. What should be done with the tithe after the temple storehouse was destroyed and the Levite priesthood, to whom God gave the tithe, was rendered obsolete by the priesthood in Christ? In the next episode, we'll begin to answer that question by examining the ways tithing has been taught and sold to the body of Christ. The transcript for this episode is found at rss.com, home of the Sons Are Free podcast. It includes all scriptures cited in the episode. The transcript can also be found on the blog at thesonsarefree.com. That's all for today, friends. Remember, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, stand firm and let no one put you under the yoke of slavery again. Thank you for listening to The Sons Are Free. I'm Jack Helser. Until next time.